You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi.
And I'm Blake Miller. Three seats on the Manzanita City Council are up for election this November, including the role of mayor. Incumbent Mayor Catherine Stock says she will not run again. Council President Linda Kozlowski and Councilor Brad Hart told KMUN they will also not run again. As of this week, Sean Kosh is making a bid for mayor, and Brian Postel is running for a seat on the city council. Citizens interested in running for mayor must have lived in the city limits for at least a year and submit their application and a petition with 10 signatures from Manzanita voters. The city recommends that signatures be submitted by August 6th to give enough time for signature verification, and August 28th is the last day for candidates to withdraw. This story comes to us through a partnership with Manzanita Today.
The Tillamook School District facilities are buzzing with renovations thanks to bond funding. Last year, voters supported a measure that created a bond for the district worth over $25 million, with an additional $6 million grant awarded from the Oregon Capital Improvement Match Funds. All projects outlined for bond funds will finance critical safety and improvement projects to various district facilities. Liberty Elementary School's south wall is receiving concrete cylinder pilings to stabilize the building in the event of an earthquake or tsunami. This project is expected to be completed by September. Another project this summer will be the replacement of both Liberty's and Tillamook High School's roofs, set to be completed by the start of the school year. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. The Department of Interior finalized a rule change to the Endangered Species Act. Jefferson Public Radio's Peyton Gast explains what this means for Oregon.
The definition of harm currently prevents things like logging and mining in endangered species habitats. That clause is set to be removed this September, making those projects easier to carry out. Susan Jane Brown is the principal and chief legal counsel for the environmental law firm Silvix Resources in Oregon. She says the administration prioritizes timber and energy over environmental protections.
This effort will be met with very swift and very strong opposition from conservation community, from people who hunt and fish and want to see these wildlife species.
Several species, such as the northern spotted owl and Siskiyou Mountain salamander, are at risk. In Ashland, I'm Peyton Gast.
The civil trial over grocery store giant Albertson's role in the opioid epidemic across Washington state is underway this week. State attorneys accuse the company of flooding the state with dangerous pills. KNKX's Mitch Borden has the story.
Lawyers made their opening arguments on Monday in a King County court over whether or not Albertsons should be held accountable for contributing to the opioid crisis. Dan Albertstone is with the Washington State Attorney General's office. He pointed to an example where a single customer was able to get over 5,000 oxycodone pills from a store in a month.
Here, as you can see, Albertsons provided no oversight of its pharmacy window. The evidence shows that the pharmacy allowed this customer to treat that store like a vending machine.
An Albertson spokesperson says the company is committed to responsible pharmacy practices and patient safety. This trial comes after Albertsons announced earlier this year a $774 million settlement to address opioid claims across the country. But according to the spokesperson, Washington State chose not to be a part of that agreement. I'm Mitch Borden reporting.
12 states, including Oregon, Washington, and California, sued to block Paramount's merger with Warner Brothers. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Conrad Wilson reports.
The states want to block the $81 billion merger, saying it violates a longstanding federal law aimed at protecting competition. Washington State Attorney General Nick Brown warned in a statement that if the merger goes through, it will raise prices and cost Americans jobs. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield says his office began its own investigation into Paramount's lobbying efforts to secure approval from the Trump administration.
Under Trump, the federal administration has also stepped away, way back from investigating and enforcing our antitrust laws here in this country. And this is why states have had to step up.
Just last month, lawmakers approved 16 new positions to beef up this kind of antitrust enforcement at the Oregon Department of Justice. In a statement, Paramount called the lawsuit, quote, wrong on both the facts and the law, and vowed to defend the deal. I'm Conrad Wilson in Portland.
Idaho voters will decide in November whether they want abortion to be legal again in the Gem State. The Idaho Secretary of State's office has confirmed that an abortion rights initiative has qualified for the ballot. The proposal calls for legalizing abortion until fetal viability, or in case of an emergency. This would return Idahoans' abortion rights to what they were before the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. The initiative also lays out rights related to reproductive health, including access to contraception and IVF, and privacy in medical decisions. As reported by the Idaho Capital Sun, Idahoans United for Women and Families submitted more than 110,000 signatures to the Secretary's office on July 2nd. That's more than 1.5 times the number of signatures required by law. The measure needs a simple majority of votes in the November general election to become law.
Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Department. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. Up next, American Democracy Minute. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We've reported on the shocking removal of 3 commissioners from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, but it's not the only federal agency with election oversight to be hamstrung by the Trump administration. EAC staff will continue to test election machines and assist states with election administration infrastructure, though without commissioners, there can be no program changes. More concerning, CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, was also hollowed out by the administration. From February to November 2025, an estimated 1,000 CISA employees were cut, including many with responsibilities for protecting the nation's election infrastructure from attacks by Iran, Russia, and China. With only 2 of 6 of its commissioners, the Federal Election Commission, feckless in the best of times, can't enforce campaign finance rules. If an election crime occurs, Notice reported June 6 that the Trump DOJ recently canceled election protection training sessions for prosecutors and FBI agents, removed a guide for prosecuting election crimes, and fired lawyers in its public integrity section. The Election Crimes Unit still has no director. With election interference concerns rising, state and local election officials are making their own plans for election protection. More on that in an upcoming report. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.